The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I am joined now by the Minister for Public Expenditure, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Central, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, you're very, very welcome to the show, and congratulations for getting this deal done and a programme for government finalised. I mean, given the numbers, is this kind of a fait accompli now?
Not yet. I mean, what has basically happened is the two negotiation teams of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been meeting over the last 3 weeks, with Christmas in between. That led to a policy paper being formed between the two parties that we then engaged with independents on over the weekend. On the basis of that, I think we're going to gain support from independents who want to be in government as well. And that will then lead to the programme for government going to the membership of my own party to vote on over the weekend. And I expect and hope they'll vote to support us. And that will all come to an end on Monday evening in time for the Dáil then that we'll meet next Wednesday.
So how would you describe overall this programme for government, all 180-odd pages? Is there a theme or an overall focus?
Yes, I would describe the overall theme as aiming and being ambitious about delivering both economic and political stability within our country. And by doing that, making a number of changes in how we deliver our public services. If I was to pick out three changes in particular, I would point to what we want to do in supporting those who have disabilities. I would point to renewed focus on childcare. And I will point to how we have to do more to make our country competitive again. And doing all of that by, I hope, having a sensible government, which Fine Gael wants to play a key role in.
Does the ambition verge on aspirational at times? You know, I mean, say, take housing, which is kind of first and foremost in a lot of people's minds, and a lot of targets in Housing for All met, but many unmet as well. And people will wonder how seriously they should take kind of a renewed commitment to hit targets that we have failed to hit.
So I absolutely appreciate and continue to appreciate how important the issue of housing to your listeners. And God knows it's been reaffirmed to me enough time in recent years. We did deliver our targets overall from a housing point of view in the last government. And what this programme for government will lay out is a commitment to build just over 300,000 homes again across the next 5 years, and lay out in particular from a capital spending point of view, in other words, the money that we spend on public transport and on our energy and our water, a way in which we want to deliver those goals. I believe they're ambitious, but I believe they're achievable. But I also appreciate, for those who are worried about can they pay their rent, if they're worried about can they ever own a home in the future, these plans will always feel aspirational until they become a reality for them, which is what the government has to do.
On the childcare front, which you mentioned as one of the key focuses then, reducing the cost, there's a kind of a 200 euro a month cap as way of a target or a focus of ambition. How will we get there? How soon will people be
limited? We'll get there year by year. We have recognised that it will take a few years to get there. There's really no point setting targets that we can't meet.
But it's lifetime with this government?
Yes. I do, however, think that as important as affordability is, and I think it's beginning to make a difference to those who need childcare, what I think is going to be easily as important, if not more important in the time ahead, is how we grow the sector itself and how we can get more spaces and more childcare providers available here in Ireland. That will take time to do. The state will play a bigger role in it. But I think accessibility is now as important as affordability.
So disability services as well, you specifically mentioned, and not just you, others have mentioned it as well today as a focus. So 2025 now, the Disability Act is 20 years old, 2 decades in existence this year. And in it contains a commitment that any child who may need additional needs will get an assessment of what those needs are within 6 months, the kind of famous assessment of needs.
Yeah.
That 6 months target has never been met in this country. Are you confident that it will be met for the majority of children in the lifetime of this government?
I believe we can do it. Am I going to express full confidence in doing it? I'm going to be honest, Kieran, and say I'm going to be careful about doing that.
Yeah.
Because I've experienced at first hand the hurt that is felt by families when we don't deliver this goal. And I've seen what it means for their young girls and boys. And we're not doing well enough on it. We recognise that. I could make the case for progress, but I know the progress is not sufficient. And it's laid out clearly in the programme for government, our aim to do it. In terms of the how, we're really looking at two things in particular. The first one is how we can harness more, having a government department whose really sole focus is around disability and delivering more there. And secondly, we have to relook at where it is regarding how we can get people, the therapists that we need, the healthcare professionals that we need to work in that sector. And I know we're not doing well enough in it, Ciarán, and I want to see us do better.
Yeah, and there'd be people who'd appreciate kind of your avoidance of making an easy promise now. At the same time, I mean, it would be a real indictment, wouldn't it? And not just this government, but successive governments and policymakers, if we got to the end of the term of this government, because it would mean that that Disability Act is a quarter of a century old. Quarter of a century, and we still not hit that target.
It's not. I accept it's not good enough. I could put all kinds of arguments out to you, Ciarán, regarding how much more money we are spending, how much more people work in the sector, and the changes that we have made. But in this particular case, trying to acknowledge that we've made progress falls short of the reality that lots of families are facing at the moment. And we recognise that in the programme for government. We have a country whose economy is growing. We've never had more people at work. These are all really important things. But ultimately, they should be able to make that public service better than it is at the moment. And I've got that message.
Is when you talk about attracting therapists to work in the system, is that the rock upon what a lot of this will wash up on, is labour shortages in different sectors?
So I think there's three ingredients in it. Number one is how we get and keep the experts that we need in this area. And I particularly look at where we are with therapists. I'm particularly aware of where we are with speech and language therapists in parts of our country. Number two, it's how we deliver those assessments, when and how they're delivered. And in number three, something that we've made progress on over the last couple of years, but we need to maintain for the next 5 years, is making sure the money that's made available for disability services is adequate and it's kept in disability services.
But, you know, we'll need extra construction workers to continually hit those targets, you know, as set out in the plan and Housing Commission and all of that. You'll need additional therapists and speech and language therapists and other professionals for this. And then in other areas as well, you know, we're talking about a new security force on public transport. We might come to that in a moment. But reducing the pupil-teacher ratio as well in primary school from 23 to 1 down to 19 to 1. Now, part of that happens naturally because there's going to be, I think, 60,000 fewer students in primary school by the end of the term of this government. But it's still, by my maths, about 2,000 extra teachers by the end of the term. And we've about 1,000 vacancies in the system. I mean, that's what I mean by kind of ambition verging on the aspirational, isn't it?
But that, for me, Ciarán, is why it's important to deliver all these things gradually. If we were to aim to deliver all of those objectives at once, we couldn't do it. It wouldn't be credible to claim that we can. We need to have the people coming out of our colleges, out of our places of higher and education, young students who want to do this work, whether they be apprenticeships, whether they be those who have done the qualifications that we need in therapy. And then we need to create an environment in which we can, they want to stay in Ireland, and we need to do it year by year. And this is, for me, why I always claim that, particularly at the start of a government, success is where we are in 5 years' time, not in 1 year's time.
Yeah, but even allowing that kind of year by year, with the backlog taken into account, it's about 600 extra teachers per annum when we're not recruiting enough as it is. I mean, that would be a huge turnaround. And it's the same when you look at the hospital beds. Over the last 5 years, it works out at about 300 new hospital beds per annum. And that included a huge COVID investment. And I think the 4,500 included in this would be over 700 per annum. I mean, but that's a massive ramp up.
Sure. But what is also happening is that we've step changed our level of capital investment within our economy. When I started doing this kind of work and you started putting these questions to me, we were investing around 4 billion euro per year in building new skills and building new hospital beds. This year, it'll be between 12 to 13 billion euro per year. If you look at where we are from a recruitment point of view, we've 22,000 more people working in our health services alone in the last few years.
Yeah.
Which to me points to the value of increasing our capital investment year after year, and then centralised wage agreements that ultimately can make our public service a good place.
But arguably labour is a more finite resource at the moment than money. So it's easier to increase that capital expenditure. It's harder to hire all these extra people, is what I'm saying. And even that number you mentioned, the 22,000, that's still only allowed for 300 extra hospital beds. You know, a bed is staff, effectively. To ramp that up to 700 per annum is going to be a huge change.
Which will take time to do. And that's why the best claim, but it's one I can confidently make, is that I think there's every prospect that if we can continue to keep our economy stable and we don't get hit by shocks outside of our control, over a five-year period, we can deliver those goals.
Sorry, one more question then, just on the hospital beds. That 4,500, is that the same figure that was included in the kind of hospital bed capacity report that was published last year?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's not additional. That's an old figure.
So it wouldn't be, well, when you say it's old.
Well, it's re-announced today as part of the programme for government.
It came out a year ago, myself and former Minister Stephen Donnelly did it. But on the other hand, if I was to come in and announce a figure higher than that, then the critique you've just offered of me there in the last few minutes ago would have real edge to us. So the goal is ambitious, but it is credible.
So you mentioned shocks to the system. To what degree does the kind of the international economic climate kind of loom in the background?
It's everything.
Yeah.
It affects where we stand profoundly. I am very confident of the strength we have built up in our public finances and the diversity of jobs and employers that we have in our country. But particularly in the last week or so of the general election, and it's explicitly called out in the programme for government today, things have changed around us. We're an open trading economy and we're going to have a lot of work to do to look after what we have, let alone to grow it.
Mm.
I believe we can do it, but to not acknowledge the risks that are there at the moment wouldn't be credible. But I'd emphasise again, I'm confident we have the ability to navigate our way through them.
And chief among those risks in terms of kind of personality, people would be thinking of Donald Trump. But in terms of policy, is it tariffs? Is it a trade war? Is it a slashing of corporate tax? Is it him targeting kind of US multinationals who've set up shop here? What is it that keeps policymakers and mandarins in the department awake at night on that front?
It's not just mandarins, it's me. It mightn't keep me wake me up in the middle of the night, but it's one of the first things I think about when I go into work every single day.
Mm.
And it's on my mind constantly, which is that Ireland's prosperity has been built around a global view on trade and how we organise the benefits of trade. And we know that it is changing and that change is going to accelerate.
Mm.
Whether it is the decisions that President-elect Trump is very likely to make, whether it is, you know, the rise of China and how they support their exports, whether it is the efforts that we're going to have to make in Europe to grow faster. The world in which we created our prosperity is now slowly and maybe even quickly changing. And we're going to have to look after ourselves as that is going on. And Europe will have to look after itself.
Mm. I mentioned earlier the security service for the within public transport. You might explain a little bit more. It's not going to be within the Garda and Garda Síochána. This is within the National Transport Authority.
No, it's going to be separate and it's not going to be another Garda Síochána. It's just looking at the model that we have in relation to airport police.
Okay.
excuse me, Ciarán. And looking at whether a version of that is possible for our public transport system.
Mm. And so, again, to try and put this into kind of people's minds in a tangible way, the security that we have in the Lewis at the moment that's provided by a private security company, it would be more than that. They kind of issue fines. These people would have the power of arrest, would they?
That would be the difference. And it will take time to do.
Yeah.
But as somebody who knows how important public transport is, not just for getting around, but for setting the tone regarding how we feel, particularly in our larger cities, we need to do something different there.
Were you disappointed that the Department of Infrastructure plan didn't make it in?
I believe there was a great case for us, but we have to work things out with everybody in government. And I believe we've come up with a really good way of responding back to this issue of how we can build things quicker.
It is a danger in terms of infrastructure when you've got so much kind of largesse in terms of money that everyone wants the shiny thing, the thing that can be seen, the thing that a politician can point to, when in actual fact, an awful lot of the money probably needs to go into the ground in Ireland or above our heads. We need kind of investment in energy and water and sewerage systems, kind of, dare I say it, the unsexy stuff.
100%. And this is the nature of how the debate in infrastructure is about to change. Up to this point, and indeed correctly, we've thought of infrastructure as the school you can see, the bus you can get on, even the metro that we want to build. The thing that is going to make a difference to all of that is where we're going to be with power, with where we get our electricity from, how much it costs, and where we get our water from. And these will at times be difficult projects to deliver. They certainly won't be visible in the way all of the other things that I've mentioned are. If we don't deliver them, we'll be less secure in the future and we won't be able to do all the other things I've just talked to you about.
You and I spoke around the time of the budget and you set out the reasons why before and after you were not in favour of reducing VAT for the hospitality sector back down to 9%. Why has that made it in?
Because I acknowledge the difficulties that the hospitality sector continues to face. But we will have to look at changes in that area, but it will happen on budget day. And at that point, we'll have to look at all the different trade-offs in relation to it.
So is it a guarantee that it's going to happen, or is this just an acknowledgement we'll consider it by budget day?
The Programme for Government has indicated that changes will be happening, but the trade-offs that have been there in every other budget I've done will be there again.
No mini budget in advance to change it before now in October?
No, we have. It's always.
Did anyone look for that in negotiations?
Look, we had a extremely professional but demanding negotiations between the two parties and independent politicians. It's always the case during the year there are things maybe that do need to be changed or adjusted, but something as big as changing a VAT rate for the parts of the hospitality sector is a really big move. That can only be done in the context of the budget.
Before I let you go then, this morning I was listening to Shane Coleman talking about all of this and more, and he described maybe the perception some would have of jobs for the boys when we look at the, and the girls, we look at kind of a super junior sitting around the cabinet table and legislation maybe needed to be tweaked in that regard. What do you say to that?
That I've been extremely impressed by all the independent politicians that I've worked with now a lot in the last number of days. And while
Did you have any qualms in working with Michael Lowry?
I did not. And the reason I did not is because I believe that every member of Dáil Éireann has an equal mandate. And when I met Michael, I deal with him on the basis of the future. And he has been absolutely professional. And
do you really believe that? I mean,
extremely effective in his dealings with the government.
Had Jerry Hutch been elected in your constituency, you'd treat him no different from any other politician.
I think the chance of me finding policy agreement with Jerry Hutch would be nil.
Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure, Minister for Finance within a few days, by this day next week.
All that's decided by others. I hope I have the chance to continue to work in some way on all of these issues.
All right. Minister, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.